Ah. It's, you've got to move it twice. Fallen. What do you think of when you hear that word? The fall. Think of it historically. When we use that term, we think of the fall of the Roman Empire, the fall of the Soviet Union, the fall of Richard Nixon, of Margaret Thatcher, of Cleopatra. They're all, it describes something historic, something big, something that changes the face of, in some of those cases, world events. And we're continuing our series on Peter's life, and we're looking at one of the falls Peter had. We're looking at his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ on what was the night before the Lord's death. And if you'd like to read along with me, we're going to look at Luke's telling of this. It's Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with them, for he too is a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately when he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. I'm going to talk about some of the things that led to Peter's denial, Peter's fall, and some lessons we can draw from it. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, we've all denied Christ more times than we've cared to admit, and no one wrote a book about it. We can hide, but Peter can't. Peter, as we've seen, was a very forward fellow, very abrasive, very forward. And so the first thing I'd like to draw attention to, and I'm quoting a great pastor when I use this term, Pastor Eric White, the term selfism. Peter trusted in himself. You know, we saw that very brave man throwing himself in front of people, and it was about trust. Peter, in this instance, wasn't trusting Christ, he was trusting himself. At the Last Supper, the Lord said to him, "You will deny me three times. You'll all run away," he said to them. Peter said, "I won't. They might, but not me." You know, there's probably a bit of pride in there as well. Self-sufficiency. Self-confidence in that way. That I'll do it. I'm strong. And I'll stand firm when everybody else runs away. You can count on me, Jesus. And so, I mean, we see it as well in the garden. One of the disciples cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. And in the fourth gospel, it tells us it was Peter. He took up arms to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. Something quite ridiculous and something Jesus would not have approved of. Indeed, he told his disciples to not persecute people for the sake of the gospel. So Peter was a very forward, very overconfident, very impulsive person who did very, very reckless and dangerous things. And that was part of the first reason I think Peter fell. Peter denied Christ because he was trusting in himself. If he was trusting in Christ, his response would have been totally different. If Jesus had said to him, "You're going to deny me," he would have knelt down before him and said, "Lord, keep me from falling. Create in me a love for you that the idea of being apart from you would be worse than death itself. Please do that, Lord. Don't let me let you down like that. I can't bear the thought of denying you, of running away from you. In you I have everything I need. Please don't let me do that." But he didn't. It was selfism. Which brings me on to the next point, prayerlessness. Again, the night before this happened, Jesus had told Peter, James and John, "Sit here, watch and pray." And then the Lord went to pray. And when he came back, he found Peter asleep. Now, I don't want to be too harsh on him, because it probably was a very emotionally draining night, the night of the Last Supper. But Jesus had told him to pray. And let me give you an example. Suppose you, on Monday, you work from 6 a.m. and you work till 6 p.m. and you come home and you're shattered. And you find a group of soldiers outside your house. And they say, "Would you please come in?" And you wonder what's going on. And there's this lady sat in your front room. And it's Queen Elizabeth. And she hands you she opens up a little bag, and there's some of the crown jewels in there. And she said, "You, my friend, you can have these. I'll give them to you. And I've had a word with the Chancellor. He's busy writing his budget. So when you sell them, you can keep all of the money that you make. The state will come for none of it. But there's a condition. You have to stay up till 6 o'clock the following morning, and my soldiers here are going to watch and see if you do it. Do you think you'd be able to stay up?" You'd get one of those soldiers to go and get an espresso every hour. You'd never have to work another 12-hour shift in your life. You know, I'd do it. I wouldn't need coffee or Red Bull. I'd just think, "Oh, I can retire. The way things are going, I'll have to work till I'm 85, but I can retire now if I do this." Now, the Lord Jesus hadn't asked him anything that drastic. He just said, "Just wait here while I pray." And Peter fell asleep. And Jesus told him to watch and pray. One of my favorite Christian authors, who was called home to be with the Lord last week, Jerry Bridges, he said, "Prayer is the tangible expression of dependency." How do I know this is real? It's tangible. I can touch it. If you really trust God, if you're really depending on him to help you through a day, to do your work, to do the work that he's called you to do, you'll be praying. If we're not, if I'm not, if you're not, then we're doing it in our own strength. So prayerlessness. Prayer chokes sin, and sin chokes prayer. They can't live in the same heart. A praying heart will hate sin because the praying heart will be in love with God, will be seeking God's face and delighting in him and pursuing him and want to be like Jesus. There's another one, but closely related to this. Peter was scorning the word of Christ. You know, he didn't really believe it was that important to stay awake while Jesus went to pray. You know, you always make time for that that's important for you. And in Isaiah, God says this, "But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." And Jesus heard the word of God from God in the flesh, and then he fell asleep. You ever fell asleep during a sermon? You don't have to answer that. Oh, wow. You're too kind. But Peter fell asleep after God himself, God in the flesh, had given him a command. So he didn't lack the regard for the word of Christ that he should have. So you see, there's a downward progression, and we're not through yet. There was a phrase in the reading, and I think it's repeated in John's as well, because I looked at the different passage. In verse 54, and Peter was following at a distance. At a distance. He was ashamed of Christ. I'll go this far, but I'll not go that far. That'll cost. I mean, there was a few times in the gospel where Peter really had a go at Jesus. You know, when he asks them, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you. You're gonna go out on this confession. We're gonna build the church, and I'm gonna go and be crucified." And Peter says, "What? That's not gonna happen to you." And a bit of reading between the lines, what was Peter thinking? He probably loved Christ. He didn't want him to go through that. And he probably thought, if we're really honest, I've left a business. I've risked everything to follow you. And you're telling me you're going to die? If they're going to do that to you, what are they going to do to me? I didn't sign up for this. Why didn't you tell me this before? It costs to follow Christ, and Peter was not prepared at this point to pay the price. He was ashamed. He didn't want to be associated with him. He followed from a distance, and I submit that that can't be done. We follow Christ the way Christ commanded us to follow him. Christianity isn't a pick and mix, do what you wish, take what you leave menu. It's Christ and Christ alone, and he has every right to make the rules, and we have no right to break them or change them or bend them. Where he speaks clearly, we must obey. There are some things he doesn't, and we charitably disagree and leave each other with their own consciences, but Jesus cannot be followed from a distance. So Peter, there's a lot of things that go on here, because falls like this don't just happen. A Christian falls in private long before they fall in public. A Christian stops doing the things that they should be doing and then starts doing the things they should not, generally speaking. And these are just moving into some of the lessons we can learn from this now. Peter is in a great line of men in the Bible who've fallen. Moses, he never got to see the promised land. David, he was one of them men who wasn't doing what he should have been doing. He should have been out with the army. The kings went to war and the king stayed at home. And Peter. It's a long line and it carries on today. That's the only type of apostolic succession, brothers and sisters. It's that we all let Christ down. But do you know something? Peter was a man of God. Do you know how I know that? He went out and wept bitterly. Men of God are capable of terrible things. And women of God, excuse me. In fact, you'll find not too many women fall like this in the Bible. The women, they were stood at the foot of the cross while all the men had ran away. The women were, some would say, I think they're right, that they were the first ones to see the risen Christ. And when they went to the men were, oh, you tittle-tattle, tales, women, you know. But men of God are capable of terrible things, and they still are men and women of God. How do I know? Peter went out and wept. Peter was broken over his sin. If he hadn't have been, he would have just said, oh well, que sera sera, this is my mistake, and all will be well eventually. That's not the attitude of someone who fears God. How many times have you wept bitterly over your sin? Not that many times. Not as many as I'd like, and certainly not as many as I should. How many times have we wept in gratitude at forgiveness? That's not ready for Peter yet, but we can say, do we weep with gratitude of his grace and love? Peter is a man of God. And this shows it. The repentant heart, the one that is broken, the one that weeps. The Lord Jesus Christ said on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And they mourn because they know they're poor in spirit. And this is, Peter had had an experience like this before. You know, when Christ called him in Luke's Gospel, he tells him to go out fishing. Peter catches a great mountain of fish. And then he breaks down before him and says, depart, go away, I'm a sinful man. Please go away. And so, like Peter, we have a tendency to forget, don't we? 3 years had passed between those two experiences. That's why we need to hear the same truths over and over again. We need to quote Mr. Bridges again, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day and realize it for ourselves every day. Because yesterday's experiences will not do for today. The manner of the day before wasn't good for today. It needed to be fresh every day. Peter was not following Christ. So likewise now, we have to not do the things that he was doing. Keep your times with God every day. I don't care, not a nice way of saying that. I don't mind how you do it, that's your business. I'm not going to stand up here and say, do this, do that. But some time with God every day, seeking his face, hearing his word, putting it into practice, coming to church, getting involved and loving your brothers and sisters and encouraging one another to keep going in Christ through hard times and through good. To love one another in the hard times, because that's what a lot of people need. That's what we all need when we're going through hard times. We need love. Maybe encouragement and exhortation after that. Just love people back to a place where they can stand on their feet and go on with God. So we also must bear with one another. Bear with one another. Yeah? If Peter can do this, what are you and I capable of? And don't idolize Christian leaders, you know. Do you think we're men of God because we can preach a sermon? Let me tell you, anyone can preach a sermon. Honestly. The men and women of God are the people who seek God in private. Who want to be like Jesus. Who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Who want to every part of their life to be conformed to the will of God. And they ache and they mourn over those parts of their life that aren't. That's a man and woman of God. I think preaching a sermon, as I say, anyone can do that. So pray for your leaders, pray for our leaders, pray for your preachers, your band leaders, everybody. It's a tremendous privilege and responsibility to be up here. So these men and women that do that need your support and your love and your patience and your kindness and your gentleness and all the support you can give them. Because if Peter, as I say, Peter's capable of this, then what can we do? And finally, there is hope. there's always hope. Those falls I mentioned at the start, they were final. The Roman Empire never came back. Soviet Union pretty much disintegrated very quickly. All those political leaders, they went and disappeared. Peter fell. But somebody else is right at the end with him. And it's his Lord. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. The words Jesus Christ had given Peter had been fulfilled. He had denied him, and the cock had crowed. The other words of Jesus Christ, what about them? You know, these apostles, Jesus had said they were going to go out and preach the gospel. Well, Jesus Christ's words cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. All the words he spoke are true, and all of them will come to pass. As we've just sang, 1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains, and should I stumble again, which Peter did, I am caught in your grace. Our shame is deeper than the sea, your grace is deeper still. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. If you fear because of sin, that's a sign of grace. If you're sorry because of sin, that's a sign of grace. Don't go from here thinking, oh, I sin. Does that mean I've let God down? Yes, it does, but it shows that God's working in you. If you didn't, if you were as hard as that, if you could joke about it, then there's cause for concern. But God is doing a work in you, dear brother and sister. You are one of his children because he's conforming you to him. So there's always hope with Christ. With the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always hope. So whatever we do, however we fall, whether people see it or not, there's hope. Not because of what we do, not because of our resolution, not because of our grit and determination, but because there's a Savior who lives to make intercession for you. The reason you're here today, you're still a Christian after these years, is because Jesus was praying for you. You fell, but you got back up because Jesus was praying for you. The Spirit convicted you, brought you to repentance, and has kept you going. It's all of the sovereign grace of God. So there's hope. And in the next sermon, you'll find out how Jesus dealt with Peter. And you'll see that with Jesus, there's always a fresh start. There's always a new hope. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little story. A Northern Ireland preacher by the name of Ian Paisley told a beautiful story in one sermon I heard. He said in the 1950s, when he was a young man, he watched a little girl run through the street, get the milk for her mother, and as she was running back, she fell. And the week's supply of milk, or the day's supply of milk, whatever, went all over the road. And a man laughed at her. He said, "You're in for a beating when you get home to your mother." And the girl looked at him with tears streaming down her face and she said, "No, sir. My mother always gives me a second chance." And how many of us know there's a second chance with God? Every day there's a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a 1,000th chance. To those who truly look to God in repentance and forgiveness. And that's the hope of the gospel. And so Peter's fall, it's not final. Not because of him, but because of who he served. And he is the conqueror. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have inspired your word. And one of the greatest proofs that it is your inspired word is the heroes of the Bible aren't idolized. All their faults are there for us. If it was written by men, that wouldn't be the case. And so we thank you for Peter. We thank you that you did a work in him, that you were molding him, and that he went from trusting himself to being broken and looking to you. And may that be done in us and in all of us, to the glory of your most holy name. Amen.